I think I'm back. Anyway, sorry. I might cough a little bit as I'm up here today or sniff a little bit while I'm up here today. And unfortunately, I'm still recovering from the crud that I had the opportunity to have. And it was an opportunity because it reminds you of the gift of health. And sometimes we forget that. And it's an opportunity and a blessing in the way that, Pastor Rayburn got to preach last week. And I just appreciated the job that he did on such short notice. And in the way he allowed the Spirit to guide and direct him in what he taught from God's Word. And how well it fits in, or it fit in, fits in, it fits in with everything that we've been talking about in this month. As we look at celebrating Christmas with joy, recognizing that not everybody does that. Not everybody celebrates Christmas with joy. For some people, this time of year is the hardest time of year because of the different circumstances that they're facing in life. You know, we got to talk this week and we were telling everybody, you know, Merry Christmas yesterday. By the way, peak officially ended yesterday. Praise God. But I don't believe it until I see it, but we'll see what next week brings. And we were talking, and oh, what are you doing with your family? What are you doing with your family? What are you doing with your family? And there was one individual, what are you doing with your family? And I think he's going to be alone today and tomorrow. And I'm thinking, wow. How tough would that be to be alone as everybody else talks about what they're going to do with their families? And so we just need to remember that as well. As we go and we celebrate, we have to remember those who maybe today isn't the best day of their life. Maybe tomorrow's not going to be the best day of their year, and it may be yours. But how do we have compassion upon people? How do we share that joy with them? And matter of fact, where does that joy even come from? And that's what we're going to continue to look at. Where's that joy? Where does that joy come from in our lives that has nothing to do with the circumstances of our life? And by the way, joy, a lot of people say, well, joy equals happiness. Not always. Because sometimes you can have joy and not be happy. And that's the reality of it. So today we'll wrap up looking at Luke 2:10c. We're going to go into Luke chapter 11 as well as we wrap it up. But it remembers or reminds us what it is that we have to be joyful over. So let's pray and then we're going to dig in. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, I thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. I thank you for the way that you work in our life. I thank you for the fact that we can come today and celebrate together. The recognition, the anniversary of your birth, the fact that you came to this earth for us because of your love for us. You became a baby. That is beyond my comprehension. And you did that so that we could have joy. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 10, we read these words. But the angel reassured them, right? Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you what? Good news. Good news. So if I asked you, when I say the word good news, what comes to your mind? All right, you say the gospel. Good. Anybody else? Huh? Salvation. Very good. Anybody else? Okay, freedom. Good. Anybody else? Hope. Good. You know, I began to think, as these shepherds are in the field at night, they're watching their sheep. They're surrounded by the glory of God. They are obviously afraid, which you would be as well. And this angel comes and says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. I wonder what that meant to them. Because to us, we think good news. We think the gospel. But what did it mean to them? Now, I'm going to make a couple different assumptions here as I kind of thought that through. The one assumption I'm going to make is that these shepherds are Jewish. That would make sense. That these shepherds are Jewish. And as Jewish men, I'm going to make the assumption that they have a rudimentary understanding of Scripture. Why? Because they're part of the Jewish culture. And even though they were looked down upon, even though they were considered, you know, smelly, dirty, well, they smelled like sheep being out in the field, they were still Jewish. And they were still part of the Jewish culture. So I'm going to assume they have a rudimentary understanding of Scripture. By the way, just like Peter and most of the disciples did, who were just fishermen, which is only one level above a shepherd. Okay, maybe it's a half a level above a shepherd. Shepherds, fishermen. They weren't looked highly upon. And so if that means they had a rudimentary understanding of Scripture, I wonder what they thought about when they heard the words in their language, probably Aramaic, good news. Now, I don't really know how much time they had to think, right? Because he gave them good news that'll bring great joy, and the angel just went on. But with that said, if they had the moment to pause, I wonder what they would have thought about. What does good news mean to them? I want to take you on a little short trip through the book of Isaiah this morning. For specifically Isaiah, we're going to start in Isaiah 41. So if you want to take your Bibles, turn back to the book of Isaiah, all the way back to Isaiah 41, towards the end of the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is also sometimes called a mini Bible. Do you know why? Because it has 66 chapters. How many books in the Bible? 66. So a lot of people will call Isaiah a mini Bible. And if you look and you read the book of Isaiah, it's all about the judgment of God, and it's also about the redemption and deliverance of God, which is the very message of the Bible. Redemption, salvation. And when you go to Isaiah 41, at the beginning or in the midst of that context, God is speaking about his judgment, but he's also then speaking in Isaiah 41 specifically of his deliverance. Isaiah 41 verse 27 says these words through 29. I was the first to tell Zion, look, help is on the way. I will send Jerusalem a messenger with, guess what? Good news. Not one of your idols told you of this. Not one gave any answer they asked, or when I asked. See, they are all foolish, worthless things. All your idols are as empty as the wind. Context. Israel is going to get judged. In the midst of that judgment, I'm going to bring you good news. What is that good news? Help is on the way. Whoa. Help is on the way. I wonder if as they sat there, they began to think of different verses in their language where they would see that phrase, good news, and they would think back to Isaiah 41, and they would remember that context of Isaiah speaking and writing about the fact that help is on the way. Yes, Babylon is coming. Yes, you're going to be judged because of your sin. Yes, A lot of people are going to go through a lot of horrendous things. The systems that you turn to don't have any answers for you. In their case, they turn to idols. Those idols that you turn to for help, they have given you none. You have never heard these words come from them. But let me tell you, help is on the way. When you hear that, if you're in the midst of a difficult situation, and you hear that I'm going to send you good news, the fact that help is on the way, does that help at all? Why?
You lack hope more than anything, especially in that period of hopes. Yeah, all they had was hope. They had the burden of their own brokenness. They knew it, and they knew they couldn't fix it.
Yeah.
So hope was all they had, and God would, because He promised to Abraham, He promised to Moses. Yeah.
So help on the way actually helps us to have hope. Isn't that interesting? Anybody else want to share when you think about the words that help is on the way? Any other thoughts come to your mind?
Relief.
Chris. Oh, relief. Somebody said relief. That's good. Chris.
When?
Good. That's the question we ask. And I'm going to, again, I use a lot of examples from UPS and Jen can associate with this, right? You're getting inundated with all these boxes and you're like, can't keep up. And they said, well, we're going to send you help. And you think to yourself, great, help is on the way. And that's the first thing you think of. So when you say 5 minutes, is that 5 minutes or is that five UPS minutes? Because five UPS minutes can be an hour and a half from now. Isn't that funny? It gives us hope, but then we're like, but when? When is this help going to come? Good news, help is on the way. Woo, that strengthens your heart. But then it does go to that other segue. But when? And maybe even how? What's that help going to look like? How's it going to come? Are you going to send me somebody that actually knows how to load a truck? Or are you just going to send me someone that's just going to take the boxes and throw them in the truck, walk away, and now I have even a bigger mess now to clean up than I did before? So what will that help even look like? But it starts with this. Help is on the way. We're actually going to go back a chapter. Oh, we're going out of chronological order, but that's okay. I want you to now look at Isaiah 40. Verses specifically 9 through 11. Help is on the way. This will tell us a little bit more about that help. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountain, shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout, don't be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Well, let's just stop right there for a second. Who's coming? Who? God's coming. Fascinating that in this language it uses the phrase God, Elohim. That's your creator. Your creator is on the way. That's a lot different reaction. I'll be honest, when I'm behind on my trucks at UPS and they look at me and said, we're sending you your son, I'm like, whoo, great. Now I know I'm going to get help. On the flip side, somebody said, well, we're going to send this individual to you. I think in the back of my head, please don't. I'm trying to be kind. I never say that out loud. So when they look and say, okay, so help's coming, who's you going to send? God's going to come. Oh, That should work. Your creator is going to come. Yes, verse 10, the sovereign Lord. Oh, that just ratcheted up a notch. Is coming in, and I love that word, power. Not coming in weakness. He's coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. That last phrase. Man, I wish we understood it fully. Because what in the world does that mean? See, he comes bringing his reward with him as he comes. What is that reward? A lot of different translations translate his blessing. Well, but what is it? What is his blessing? What is his reward? What does it mean? It's hard to tell from this particular context. But if we let Scripture support Scripture, the schools of thought means it could mean one of two things. One, A, his first coming, or B, his second coming. In the context of Isaiah 40, it appears to be more heavily leaning upon when he comes to rule and reign and bring peace for all time. But you cannot get to his second coming without going through his first, which hasn't happened yet when this was written. And that's why many think it's a dual fulfillment of the coming of the gospel that is and then is totally in its complete fruition of that is when Jesus Christ will rule and reign upon this earth. And there will be no more death, there will be no more dying, there will be no more sorrow, and he will reign forever. That's the power of God. So help is coming, and it's coming in the power of God. Verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. So this is an awesome God that's coming, that is all powerful, that's extremely powerful, comes as one so gentle, who takes those whom he loves and he holds them in his arms. But this still hasn't answered one question, has it? It still hasn't answered the when. Help is coming. The help is in the form of an all-powerful God who loves you. He is coming in his awesome power. And he's coming with such a gentle spirit and gentle heart that wants to pull you close, holding them close to his heart. Right before I got sick, actually it was the Monday before I got sick, and I'm glad it was the Monday before I got sick, I got to meet Madison. Madison is Drew and Kayla Wilson's baby. And if you guys know me, they walked through the door, and I pretty much held the baby till somebody else forced the baby out of my hands. Anyway. And I got to hold that little one. I got to hold her close to my heart. I got some great pictures of her with my wife. She's awake. When I held babies, for some reason, they go to sleep. Just my gift, I guess. And I got to rock her. She was a little fussy at first, and we kind of had a talk. And then next thing I know, she's just sound asleep, laying on my chest. And unfortunately, they grow up. But I love that. That's the way God, this all-powerful God, right, holds us so gently close to his heart. It's always a really funny picture when you see this massive buff guy hold this little baby. That's the picture I have in my head. You have this massive, which I don't fit. But anyway, you have this massive, muscular, buff guy, and you see them with this little baby, and they're just so gentle. That's how our God is with us. Help is coming. And the good news is that it's coming in the awesome power of God. But what will it do? Where will it go? Isaiah 52. Turn to Isaiah 52. Look at verses 7 through 10. We're almost done with the book of Isaiah. I love the way verse 7 starts. How beautiful. On the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. Boy, that sounds like another portion of scripture, doesn't it? Book of Romans. The good news of peace and salvation. The good news that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing for joy. For before their very eyes they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of the nation. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. This is probably post, right? After. Post is after. Post exile from Babylon. As Israel begins to return, but to a degree this has not yet been totally fulfilled. At least for Israel. And God talks about bringing salvation, bringing peace. One of the major words is found in verse 9, as he redeemed Israel. What does it mean to be redeemed? Any ideas what that word means? Your debt's been paid. It means to be bought back. It means you and I had a price on our head, if you would. And God paid that price to purchase you back to himself. That's restoration. Yes, Josh. Yeah, that our God wants us, that we become part of him. That's a restoration of a complete relationship. Adam rebelled, all the human race rebelled, Israel rebels. Due to that rebellion, you feel the judgments of God, and yet God says, but I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to bring you back to me because you are mine. You see that in Isaiah 43, by the way. You see that in Isaiah 41:10. You are mine. You're mine. And I will redeem you. So what does that help look like? The good news means complete restoration, being completely changed. It's actually a change of perspective, by the way, too. Because it helps you to view life through a slightly different lens. At least those who accept that. Because this is temporal. By the way, I'm going to give you a hint. I'm never going to answer the when question because I don't know when. I don't know when. Yes, I know the when of when Jesus Christ came. He came in the fullness of time. He came exactly when God desired him to come. He was completely brought restoration to us. Yes. But when you are going through difficult times in your life, I don't know the when. When it will end. What I do know is that help is on its way. What I do know is that help is from an all-powerful God who loves you greatly. And what I do know is that his purpose is to restore you. That's what I know. And that hopefully brings a change of perspective. By the way, it's not one that we always see, is it? And we're going to get to that in a moment. But it can bring a change of perspective. I loved that Pastor Rayburn took you guys to the book of Psalms last week. I love the book of Psalms. The more I read it, the more I love it, because it's real life. You see David go through different stages in his life, or the author of the psalm go through different stages of his life where he says, I was here, I am struggling, I recognize who you are, I recognize you're there, that does bring joy in my life, but that doesn't mean I'm done struggling. I don't think David was done struggling until the day he opened his eyes to his Savior. I think that's just the reality of life. But when we begin to recognize some of these things and we begin to understand who God is, see, there's a change in the heart that can take place. Go to Psalm 96. I love Psalm 96. By the way, in Psalm 96, we also see the phrase good news. And in Psalm 96, verses 1 through 6, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This is what I read. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. That's a new song in the heart. A new song that declares that he saves. He rescues. He rescues. Think of some of the most difficult moments of your life in the past year. Then answer this question, which is very similar to the path that Pastor Rayburn took you down last week. Was God there? Intellectually, if you've been in church for any length of time, on an intellectual level, the obvious answer would be what? Yes. But then the question becomes, but emotionally, again, if we're honest, perhaps the real answer is, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Have you ever been there? And if so, why the disconnect? If we know it to be true, then why in those highly emotional situations do we not always recognize his presence? And see, we as believers will go through that process, and we'll do it to ourselves. If it gets really bad, we do it to others. And we say, well, what's the disconnect? Why can't you see this? But you know God understands the disconnect? Again, Psalms. Psalm 103, verses 13 through 14. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. I love verse 14. For he knows how weak we are. He knows, or he remembers, we're only dust. Isn't that fascinating? We get all bent out of joint. We're surprised. Oh, where's our faith? Where's this? Where's that? And God is sitting there going, it's okay. I know you're weak, which we hate that idea. Okay, some of us do. And I know you're only dust. It's okay. I know where you are. I know that I'm here. I love 1 John 3:20, right? Even if we feel guilty, or even if our heart condemns us, is another way of translating it. God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Even though we condemn ourselves, he doesn't condemn us. During those highly emotionally charged times is where we need the love and compassion of brothers and sisters in Christ to come along our side and sometimes just be there. Just like our God is. Not lecturing, not Bible thumping, not that that's necessarily wrong, there are times for that, but like our God, just being there. The power of just sitting with somebody is phenomenal. And sometimes that's what our God does, whether we even recognize it or not. Sometimes he just sits there and he goes, when you're ready, you'll turn around, you realize I'm here, but I'm here. I have come to rescue you. I have come in my mighty power, but I have come as a tender, loving God to bring you joy, even in the midst of your struggle. I hate being sick. I do not like it. Why? Because it makes me feel weak. And I hate that. But I also am very thankful for the times that I have been sick. Because it also then reminds me of how finite and weak I really am. And how much I need my God. And it's also a great reminder to me of those who deal with that every day. I've been sick for about 10 days. It's coming to an end. I know it's coming to an end. Well, it's been a little bit more than 10 days. It's still kind of hanging on. The reality is this cough and the cold-like systems could hang on for another couple of months, but they will end. I don't have to get up each day, usually, with some type of physical challenge. But being sick reminds me of those who do. And it reminds me that I need to be praying for them. And when opportunities come, I need to be encouraging them. And I need to remind them of the joy that God has made available to them. Because let me tell you, not this past Wednesday or this past Thursday, but the Thursday before that, I wasn't feeling a lot of joy. Frustration, anger, for crying out loud, why won't this fever just go away? And then I had to remind myself of the joy that God brings. Go back to the angels or the shepherds for a moment. Go back to Luke 2, the shepherds and the good news. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what they were facing in their life. I don't know the challenges they had. I can only imagine. But here you are. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today. In their case, the wind has been answered today. In Bethlehem, the city of David. And again, if they had a rudimentary understanding of Scripture, they know what the angel was telling them. The Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. That's the good news. All people, not just for a few, not just for some, all people. Joy to all people. This good news is for everyone. Everyone. That means you. That means me. It's good news. And that good news can bring joy to us. When you think about the shepherds, who knows what they're going on? Maybe they were worried about their families. And yet even in that worry, they can have joy. Maybe they were counting their sheep, hoping they'd have enough, right, to provide. But even in the midst of that, they could have joy. Each person in Bethlehem, by the way, was there in order to be counted and registered so they can pay more taxes. It wasn't a joyous occasion to them. And yet they could have joy. Think about Mary giving birth to Jesus in less than ideal circumstances. No midwife, no sister, no mom. She is 100% on her own. And yet she could have joy. You might look at yourself and say, but she had Joseph. Okay, let's just be real. Back then, now I was in the room when all six of my children were born. I cut the umbilical cord of all six of my children. Excuse me, technically all seven of my children, I was in the room. I was there for all of them. Men weren't there at this point. Matter of fact, I teased my wife. I was a 911 operator before in my life. So I told her, if you go into labor, I'll run to the other room, call me, and I'll know what to do. Being there, maybe not. But if you call me, I know the script. Joseph had no idea what to do. The women would have the babies. Women would help the other women. The men would be out. They would not be in the room. Can you imagine Joseph being in the room going, I have no idea what to do? And if you've ever seen a woman in labor without an epidural, as a man, you have no idea what to do. Other than maybe go hide. And yet, joy, as the woman that he loves is in labor, being a child into the world by the way that is not his. And he knows it. And so will the rest of the world, and so does the rest of the world. And yet, even in all that stress, even with all those concerns, as they bring that baby into the world, they can have joy. They can have joy. You and me, with all our worries and concerns, our burdens, our sin, our shame, our fears. Yes, joy. Not because every circumstance is happy, but because of the Savior that brings each one of us and that comes alongside each one of us, even in the different circumstances that we are in. That is something different to think about. Because that's what we celebrate, right? God became flesh. The divine becoming a baby that needs his diaper changed, that is 100% dependent upon his mother for life at that point in time, and his parents for protection. The divine becoming a baby so that we can have true joy. Joy that comes from within despite our circumstances. And that's some good questions to ask. You know, what does the Savior bring us? The obvious thing to that you would hope is the word joy. But it's more than just joy, isn't it? He brings us so much more than just joy. Matter of fact, what does he bring us?
Faith.
Huh?
Faith.
Good. What else does he bring us?
Peace.
What else does he bring us? Love. What else did you? Confidence. What else does he bring us?
Forgiveness.
What else does he bring us?
Salvation.
Yeah. What? It's the gift that keeps on giving. Sorry, not to be too irreverent. But when we stop and we think of what our God did to become a baby, look at all that he brings us. Maybe we need to ask ourselves our question, how do I get this joy? Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't have it because, A, you haven't recognized what Christmas is really all about. I recognize that tomorrow, so in our family we like to say, well, happy day before your birthday. I recognize that tomorrow probably is not Jesus' actually birthday. Okay, I was born on December 8th, 1969. We can pinpoint that, assuming that the records are correct and my parents are not lying to me, because I don't remember. So I'm pretty positive I was born on December 8th of 1969. We can't do that with Jesus. We can get close. But through the process of time, it was not necessarily wrong to set apart a day to remember his birth, because that brings great joy. That's where joy comes from, having a personal relationship with him. And maybe you really are sitting here today and you really have no idea what Christmas is really about. I didn't for a long, 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 long time. Long time. Before I finally learned what Christmas was all about. And it radically changed Christmas. Matter of fact, it made it so much more enjoyable because now I knew why I was celebrating. Right? And it's a lot of fun celebrating somebody's birthday, even if it's not yours. At 5 or 6, I recognize maybe not, but it takes a while to learn that. And then you're like, hey, it's so-and-so birthday. Let's go celebrate. And that brings joy. That brings joy. We had the opportunity to bring joy into people's life this week. What do I need to give back to the Savior? Maybe you need to ask that question. Or how can I give him this, or what can I give him this season that would bring him joy? Right? 2 Corinthians 5:9, I paraphrase it this way. So what can you do to bring a smile to your Savior's face? So what can we do this season to bring him joy? If you ever listen to K-Love, there's this young lady that talks on K-Love. I believe her name is, I think her name's Autumn, or is it Summer? And she always ends it with, I'm a joy bringer. Summer. Yeah, her name, I knew it was a season. My name is Summer, and I'm a joy bringer. Are you bringing joy? In order to do that, you have to know the joy of the Lord. By the way, which is your strength? Do you know it? Do you know it? Let's pray. Father God, as we come before your throne, thank you so much for being able to celebrate your birthday. Thank you so much for the fact that you came as a baby so that we could have life, that we could have forgiveness of sin, that we could have joy, that we could have strength, that we could have confidence, that we could have all these things that we talked about, that we receive from you as gifts. Gifts. We don't earn any of it. It's all given as a gift. Thank you. Thank you that we can have joy despite our circumstances. Help us to cling to that today, tomorrow, the next day, several months from now, whatever comes. But then also, Father, help us to be joy bringers to the praise and to the glory of your name. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we finish up with Great is Thy Faithfulness.